Okay, here's the deal. If you have your Bibles, turn in Mark chapter 4, please.
Wait, of what?
Mark chapter 4.
Oh, Mark. I thought you were saying like Mark. You know what I mean? Like Mark
something? Yeah. No, I got you. I was a little confused. I was like, wait a minute. Did I read the wrong thing?
What?
Okay, who's there? Mark 4. Who's there? Everybody there? Okay, cool. Can I start reading?
No.
All right, I'm going to start reading. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, cool. Here we go. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came along and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it out, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced good grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30, 60, and 100 fold. And he said, "He who has ears, let him hear." And when he was alone, I'm in verse 10 if you're following along. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and they may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path, and where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on the rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a little while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and desires for other things enter and choke out the word, and provides no fruit. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30, 60, and 100 fold. Okay, let's pray real quick, and then we'll get into the message. Dear Lord, I just thank you for this time that we can be here, away from school, away from home, just to hang out, have fun with our friends, but also just spend time in your word, spend time worshiping you through music, through studying who you are. I just pray tonight that you would speak through me, that you would just take me out of the way, just be all your words through me. I pray that these students would just pay attention, that they would be just open to hear, that their ears would be open, that we would really kind of just wrestle with this passage tonight, and we would figure out what type of soil we are, that we would also realize that we're soil and we're also a sower. I just pray that that truth would come through tonight. We love you. Thank you for your son. Amen. Okay, who here has planted a garden before? Anyone? Wow, there's a lot more of you than I thought. All you Merritt Island people have gardens? I thought you didn't have big enough yards for that. Yeah, I got a cocoa boy right here. You guys planted gardens before? Yeah? Have you ever planted like a seed? Maybe you didn't do a garden, but you did.
Yeah, in my kindergarten.
Okay, Tim, you literally just stole my sermon illustration, so I'll go ahead and let you teach it. Is that cool? No, just kidding. Okay, this is what I was going to say. Remember in kindergarten, you take those little Ziploc bags, and then you'd like, you wet the paper towel, and you'd stick the seed in it and zip it and tape it to the window?
Last year I had a bean plant.
You were in kindergarten last year.
Yeah, no, but that was like in kindergarten we did that too.
I'm just kidding.
But then like I had a bean plant, his name was Gary.
Gary the bean plant. Did he produce any fruit?
No, someone killed him.
God would have cut him out and threw him in the fire, but we'll talk about that later. Okay, so let me give you a little experience that I've had. So we talked about when I was in kindergarten, I planted some stuff. I've had miscellaneous gardens here and there in my youthfulness. I used to plant a garden every year with my family. That was fun. And then I have a picture, if someone could put it up. whoever's on the computer. I have a picture of a food plot. Does anyone know what a food plot is?
Yeah.
Okay, Alec Armstrong, explain to me, please. Wow, that picture's even worse. Okay, here's the deal. Let me explain what happened. Let me explain what happened. I took these photos with my phone, right?
Oh, that's why they're bad.
Then I tried to convert them over to the computer, and I probably should have resized. I should have resized the image. That's just a rookie mistake, you know what I'm saying? That's just noob status, so I apologize. Explain to me what a food plot is, Alec Armstrong, Mr. A food plot. You said you knew what it was. Okay, it's a plot of food. Who actually understands what it is? Yes, sir. Yeah, that's my kind of
deer. And you shoot them.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so here's the deal. Here's the deal. My family has this hunting. My family has this hunting lease in Georgia, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of deer, but they like to hide in the woods because they're kind of like skittish. Okay, they're socially awkward deer. So, anyways, to lure them out, you plant these things called food plots. So, and we'll be talking about this later, but. All around here, you can see it's kind of like brown and nasty, and then there's that really nice patch of green in the middle. You see that? Do you say it's like Minecraft? You guys need to get off the computer.
I don't play Minecraft.
You need to go play Minecraft in real life, okay? Just kidding. Just kidding. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. So you see how everything around it's really weedy, and then there's like nice green in the center? Do you think that just happened naturally?
Yeah.
No. Okay, the farmer had to do some plowing. Okay. Who do you think farmer was?
Not you.
It wasn't me, it was my dad, you're right. So anyways, I'm going to hit on this a little bit later, but I wanted you guys to see the photo so that you had some visual reference. Okay, so we talked about Mark chapter 4, okay? Who remember what happened in verse 1? Somebody just give me a quick synopsis. Yeah. I mean, we just talked about it. I just read it.
Oh.
Okay. This is what happened. Is anyone else? Yes, please.
He was by the seaside and people gathered with him.
Perfect. Okay. So here's Jesus. He's teaching. He's by the Sea of Galilee, and all these people are crowding around him. He's drawing this huge crowd. A lot of people were there to hear his teaching. Probably more people were there because he was putting on a cool show to them. So they're all huddled around him, and he's getting so crowded by people, he actually has to get into a boat. He's not just getting in a boat for fun. It's too crowded. He can't even teach. He's just like surrounded. It'd be like if I stood in the middle of you guys and was like, try and teach you. It'd just be kind of weird and awkward. So anyways, so Jesus has to get in this boat. So he pushes off the shore a little bit. Imagine he's standing there on the edge of the shore. There's probably this little hillside going up alongside it. And he sees this guy casting out some seeds. And so he's like, perfect sermon illustration. That's how Jesus did it. So that's what we do. Anyways, so he sees this guy casting out his seeds, right? Right? Is everybody following?
Yeah.
Okay. And so he's thinking about this crowd as he's teaching the word to him. The seed, he's teaching this word, okay? What's the word that he's teaching? The gospel, right? He's telling them about God. Okay, so he's using a physical illustration of some dude on seeds. So let's reread through that part really quickly. Let me find it. Verse 3. Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came up and devoured it. Okay, we'll stop right there. So this guy's planting seeds along the path, okay? They're on this beautiful lakeside. He sees this guy doing his thing. He's like, okay, I'm going to talk about him. So when you have, say, a garden or a food plot or whatever, is all the ground perfect?
Yes.
Okay, inside of the food plot or the garden, but outside of it, do you think it's perfect?
Yes.
No, it's not. There's going to be rocks, there's going to be thorns, there's going to be other bushes. So that picture I showed, you don't have to put it back up. But in the center there was green, and then all around it was like
yellow.
Like yeah, brown bushes, yellow. Stuff like that. So if I'm, the term is called broadcast seeding, kind of like how broadcast, like media broadcasts to you. Anyways, you guys don't care. But it's called broadcast spreading. So this guy's throwing out his seed, right? And some of it lands in the good soil, but some of it doesn't. Some of it lands on the hard path that he's walking on. Some of it lands maybe over in the bushes where, you know, there's dirt, but there's bushes above it. Some of it landed in rocky soil. So these are all the different types of soil that are around where he's planting the seeds. So Jesus is using this simple guy that just happens to be walking around, and he's making this cool analogy so these people can understand it. What is kind of a biblical story analogy, what is that called? We've talked about it before. A parable, yeah. So what's a parable?
A story.
Why do you keep looking at me?
Because you keep looking at me.
Because it's hard not to look at you.
Well, obviously. I mean, come on, you know? Okay, so it's a story. It's a story that has a physical representation of a spiritual meaning, right? So is Jesus just talking about a guy throwing out seed?
Yeah.
Okay, is he just... So he's not. So,
nope, has a meaning.
Okay, it's got a spiritual meaning. So let's dive into it, okay? I wanted you guys to get past that. The sower, broadcast spreading. Here's the deal. Jesus Christ was the greatest sower of all. Let's go ahead and talk about the three different things. The sower, the seed, and the soil. Jesus Christ was the greatest sower of all. We're supposed to be following his reference. But he was the one casting the seed. Okay, what's the seed? Does anyone have an idea what the seed is? The gospel, because I already said it. But hey, you are paying... Hey, one person in this room is paying attention. That's all that matters to me. Okay, so the seed is the gospel. It's the truth of who Jesus Christ is. It's what saved us, okay? You guys understand the seed is the gospel? Okay, now this is a little bit more complicated. What do you think the soil is referring to? Okay, the people, but what specifically? Go ahead, Tim.
Jewish people.
No. Yes. No.
Israelites.
Yes. Okay, you guys are a little off topic. Somebody already hit it. I think, Jack, you said people? Okay, here's the deal. No. It's not exactly people. It's talking about the people's hearts. The soil is the heart that's receiving the gospel. So tonight we're going to be talking about the difference between the sower, the seed, and the soil that's receiving the gospel. Sorry, I have to use my hands to talk or else I can't even remember what time it is. That doesn't even make sense. Here we go. Okay, so the soil, listen up. The soil is the heart receiving the seed, which is being sown from the sower. Got it? Everybody understand? Okay, here's one thing you have to understand. The sower, like I said, could be us, could be God, could be your friend, whatever. The sower changes, the soil changes. There's different type of soils, and we're really going to hit on that tonight. But here's the thing that never changes, the seed. The seed never changes. God's truth never changes, okay? So if you're going out to share the gospel, you're trying to spread this seed, it doesn't change. It's the same truth every time. You may relay it to a friend differently than you would to another friend, but it's the exact same truth. And I want you guys to remember that as you're going out and spreading this seed or this gospel, I want you guys to remember that the truth about who God is never changes. No matter what kind of soil you're coming up against, no matter what kind of trials you might face, no matter how hard it might be to share with somebody, the truth of God is the truth of God. And the only way you guys are going to understand that is actually just getting in the Word, studying it, and knowing who God is through spending time in the Word and spending time in prayer. I move swiftly along. So, again, you're the seed. Excuse me, you're not the seed. You're the soil and the sower, okay? So tonight, as we talk about this, think about yourself as the soil. And for those of you that are saved, that have a saving relationship with Christ, you're also the sower. Three S's. It's really hard to follow. So you're the soil, but you're also the sower. If you're in Christ, you're also a sower. Does everybody follow? Okay, I'm just making sure because I'm actually kind of confusing myself, and that's a difficult task. Just kidding, it's not at all. Okay, so let's jump down to verse 10. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. So Jesus had explained these parables. They're hanging out by the lake. After he told all his stories, the people were probably coming up, shaking his hand, saying, oh, heal this, heal that, talking to him. I don't know what was going on. The context of the passage doesn't really tell you. But I imagine it was probably a couple hours after he told this story. They're probably sitting around a campfire eating dinner or something cool like that. And you can hear the disciples kind of like, just kind of like talking about it behind the scenes. And Jesus, obviously being all-knowing, is kind of perceiving that. But they're kind of like chewing on this, wondering, what does he really mean? So we'll explain it. Verse 11, he said to them, to you who has been given the secret of the kingdom of heaven, but for those outside everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should be forgiven. And there's a couple of like kind of difficult truths to talk through there. But this originally comes from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. When Isaiah is speaking and telling Israel about kind of the condemnation that God is bringing down on their people. And so that's where that verse is taken from. They hear, what does it say? Let's reread it. Those have been given the secret. Indeed, they see but not perceive, they hear but don't understand. So these things are simple, they're parables, but just because it's a parable and it's simple to understand doesn't mean they understand the spiritual meaning behind it. Does that make sense? So they can hear the physical representation. So this parable, this analogy of physical explaining spiritual, they get this part. They understand the physical, that's pretty easy. There's a guy walking around throwing out seeds. But they don't understand the spiritual aspect of it. And that's what Jesus really wants them to understand. And verse 13 is really important. He said to them, "Do you not understand this parable?" Obviously they didn't. That's why he's asking. So, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" So, this parable is obviously really important. What Jesus just said, his words, was, if you don't understand this parable, you're not going to understand the other parables. There's a whole lot of other parables in Matthew, Mark, Luke. So, if you're going to understand those, these are really key to important. Key and important to understand. And as I was kind of like just reading through this and praying through this week, I feel like this is a story that we kind of hear all the time. Like, you know, if we grew up in Sunday school, we've heard this. Like, we have like the kind of like flannel graph things, which a lot of people make fun of flannel graphs, but I think they're like the greatest like biblical illustrations ever. They're those little things where it's like a flannel board and you like stick the people up on there, like the felt boards. Anyways, yeah, VBS when you're a little kid. I think those things are great. But anyways, this is a story that I've heard over and over and over and over again. And I still don't think I truly understand how much truth and how much depth is in this. So we're going to go over the basics of it tonight, but I want you guys to really just sit and meditate and think on it at home. Open your Bibles, just read through it. It's 20 verses, so it's kind of long, so you might have to read over it a couple times to get it. But there's a lot of just deep understanding. And like I said, I really want to hit on the soils tonight, because I think a lot of you guys are in a place where you can relate to one of the four soils mentioned. Do you have a question? It's okay if you do.
He wants to know what's a flannel board.
It's that thing, I was just explaining it, sorry. It's that thing where you have like the felt, you call it a felt board, flannel board, flannel graph.
What's a felt board?
Anyways, it's felt. It's that soft, fuzzy material that you wear like in the winter.
Like pajamas.
Sure.
What's it called?
Felt. So anyways, hey, we're getting off subject, but you take a felt background and then you stick felt people on it. Does that make sense?
Everybody? Like Velcro?
Yeah, it's just like Velcro. Thank you. Tim, you solved the problem. I wasn't doing a good enough job explaining. What would I do without you? Okay, here's the deal. Verse 15. Let me read it to you. Verse 15 through 20, Jesus is basically explaining everything that he said from 3 to 9. Does everybody follow?
Yeah.
It's a parallel, but he's explaining the spiritual meaning. He's not just giving the physical representation, but he's giving the spiritual representation. So, what verse did I say we're reading? And see if you guys are paying attention. 15, thank you. Verse 15, let's go ahead and read it. Does anyone want to read it for me? Go ahead, read it for me. Verse 15, go ahead. Where the word is sown, when they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word. Thank you. You guys are great. Okay, let's go ahead and talk about this. Okay, this soil is representing people that Satan, when the word is preached to them, Satan comes and tries to take the seed away. What's the seed? The gospel, the word. So this is when the gospel is preached, Satan comes in and he tries to take it away from them. How do you think he's taking it away? Let me explain it to you. Here's the deal. And these are kind of some different examples of what could be happening. Can you pull up that verse in John? John chapter 3, 19 through 20. Okay, here we go. I'll read it. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. Okay, some people love light more than darkness. So this example, Satan could be coming in and taking up the seed because they're already in this darkness. And we could talk about a lot of different weird things, but these are just people that are not focusing on the light. Who's the light?
Jesus.
Jesus, God. Okay, so if you're focusing on darkness, you're focusing on the opposite of Jesus and God. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Everybody following?
Yeah.
So if you're in a place where you're focusing on darkness instead of light, Satan can come in and use that as a way of pulling the word, pulling the message of God away from you. There's another thing that's getting popular these days, just different doctrines. Does anyone know what hedonism is? What is it?
Oh, they
said
if you
want
to know.
No. It's called the definition is the pursuit of pleasure. Okay, there's another thing called materialism. Who knows what materialism is?
No.
Someone that hasn't already answered 1,000 times. Mac.
Whoa. Worshipping materials.
Okay, wanting things. Okay, worshipping materials, wanting things more than wanting anything else. Okay, does anyone know what humanism is?
Yes.
I know.
What? Somebody get...
Worshipping humans.
Okay. Worshipping humans rather than what? A religion or God? Stuff like that. So humanism is where you love human more than you love God or you love religion, because we know there's a lot of different religions people worship. So these are these new things that are popping up that we call new that aren't really new. They've been happening for thousands of years. But these are these things that Satan used so that people reject the gospel. The seed is sown... It's better than not hearing it at all. But the seed is sown, and as soon as it lands on the path, it sits there for a little bit, and Satan comes and gobbles it up. So if you're focusing on materialism, humanism, hedonism, all these different things, secularism, evolution, all these things Satan is using to pull you away from the truth of God. Yes?
What's secularism?
Secularism is the ism of being secular. So what's secular? Like the world? So it's like the worship of the world. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Let's keep moving. Okay. So like I said, humanism is this big new thing. It's really popular in your schools today. Some of your friends might talk about it. It's where religion is nothing and human is everything. It's also disguised in this coexist thing. All religions are the same. They lead to the same thing. The only thing that matters is that you know, you believe in something or you don't believe in anything, but none of it really matters. Nothing matters at all. That's kind of this twisted, sick culture that we live in that says nothing matters, okay? Satan is using that to pull the gospel from people's ears. He's just like the seed that's sitting on the path. He's taking it and plucking it away. Next thing. Stony ground. That's next, okay? What verse was stony ground? Does anyone remember? 16 through 17. Mac, why don't you read it for us? Without commas and periods inside. Just go ahead and read it how it is.
And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. The ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away.
Okay, perfect. Let me get my pages in order. Okay, so these are type of people. Stony ground. So there's this seed. It grows, right? It takes root, but it doesn't go too deep because there's either rock underneath it, or there's too many rocks around it, and the root's getting squished. These are people that hear the word. They might accept it with joy, but they stumble when either tribulation or trials or tough things or temptations, whatever, come along. These are people that have a shallow faith. These are people that are not grounded in the Word. Is everybody following me?
Yeah.
So the stony ground soil are people that aren't grounded in the Word. When things come along, tough times come along, they're following God. All of a sudden something bad happens and they're like, whoa, that came out of left field. I wasn't expecting that. And they're not grounded in the Word of God so that they can't lean on Him in that situation and they fall away from the faith. As I'm saying these things, you're probably thinking of people, friends in your life, family members. Maybe you're thinking of yourself. That's not a bad thing. Don't do it as a judgmental thing like, oh, Johnny's the stony ground. But start beginning to think about, this could be me. You could be talking about me right now. I could have a hard heart. I might have a shallow root. This is the type of stuff I want you guys to be thinking about tonight. Next, the thorny ground, verses 18 through 19. I'm going to go ahead and read it so that it doesn't become a difficult task. 18 through 19. Here we go. And others are the ones sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and desires for other things enter and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Okay, so these are kind of similar to the stony ground. They're kind of similar to the path, but these actually take root. And the root is pretty deep. There's nothing limiting the root. But when these things come up, it chokes out the plant, okay? So these are the type of people that are influenced by the world, riches, whatever. Name the whole nine yards. Materialism is another thing that affects this. These are people that understand God's truth. They receive it with joy. Their roots start going in the ground. But when they start growing, all these other things choke them out. Luke 8:14 should be up there. Here we go. And as for what fell among the thorns, they were the ones, those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. So this is the same parable explained in Luke instead of in Mark, and it goes on a little further and says, not only is there no fruit, there's no maturity in their fruit, and they're getting drowned out by the pleasures of life, riches, yada, yada, yada. A lot of times, riches are these things that distract us from God. Have you guys heard the verse where, you know, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven? You guys heard that verse? I don't know what the reference is, but you can Google search it and make sure it's in the Bible, that I'm not lying to you. But one thing that riches make you think is that you're self-sufficient. I don't need God because I've got all this money to take care of me. When the money runs out, then what takes care of you? Riches is probably one of the easiest things that detract us from who God is. I get distracted all the time by trying to make money or trying to spend money or yada, yada, yada. Money is a beautiful thing that God created. It's a beautiful tool that we can use. But if we're using it to be self-sufficient, it can distract us from the goal. There's anxieties that can distract you sometimes. You take root and you start growing, but the anxiety that you have is the thorns are this anxiety that you have. That's something that you're not willing to give up to God. You're anxious. You're not saying, God, I'm going to let you handle this. I'm going to worry about it, and that's going to fix the problem. There's a laundry list of different things. Pleasures of the world. These are the things that divert minds from the Spirit. These are the things that make you focus on earthly things, making yourself feel good, taking care of yourself, and not worrying on the Spirit. And these are things that we all deal with, stuff that I deal with. The difference is with the thorny ground, the stony ground, the path versus the good soil. The good soil, somebody has to prepare the ground, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. Some verses that are useful for these type of things, it's Galatians 5:17, Galatians 6:7-9. And then, have you guys heard the story of the rich young ruler? Okay, this guy was kind of double-minded. He's like, I really want to follow you, God, but I'm not really willing to give up all my stuff. And so then nothing happened. He didn't follow after Jesus. There's another guy that Jesus called, and I don't remember where the story was, and he's like, hey, come and follow me. And he's like, okay, I'll follow you, not a problem, but let me go home first, and let me say bye to everybody, and let me grab some of my stuff, and let me feed my dog for the last time and give him a hug, and let me yada, 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 yada. And Jesus is like, no, if you're not ready to follow me right now, you're not ready to ever follow me. And these are the type of people that had thorny ground. These parables that he's telling here explain these other peoples that we encounter throughout the Bible. Yep, we'll keep going. These are the type of people that believe. They hear it. It makes sense. They start growing roots, but then the things of the world kind of cave in around them and they get stagnant. They kind of follow these people. Could be, they could even be really involved in your church. They could be your friends. Could be you. And you think that you're doing really well, really well, really well. And then all these things start distracting you and taking you away from who God is. And you become stagnant and you're useless to the kingdom. If I had to say one thing that I feel like I'm the most before God really kind of like wrecked my world and made me really start following him was this thorny ground, this ground that had thorns and vines and all the stuff over it, because I really loved God and I really loved his truth and I really loved hanging out at church and I really loved my friends and I really loved yada, 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 this whole laundry list of things. But Jesus wasn't most important to me. He was kind of like this second thing that was like, yeah, he's just a part of my life. He didn't wreck my world yet to where he was everything. And I mean, guys, we're still going to struggle. We're still not going to be perfect. But there's a difference between working at it, and there's a difference between completely just stagnating and being completely useless to the kingdom. And the thorny ground people are the type that grow up, and then, boom, they get drowned out before God can even use them. Now, verse 20. Let's talk about verse 20. But those that bear fruit, but those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. Okay, do those sound like good numbers?
Yeah.
30, 60, 100 fold, that's like times or multiplications of. So these are people that are bearing a lot of fruit. Jesus tells us that we're known by our fruit. He says the branches that don't have any fruit are going to be cut off and thrown in the fire. What do you guys think that means? If we're talking about parables, what does that mean to you? Okay, yeah, that's, I mean, it's kind of a rough interpretation, but yeah, you're exactly right. Those branches that aren't producing fruit, that aren't leading people to God, that you don't see the gospel through, those branches are cut off and thrown away. Are those the branches you want to be?
No.
Okay, so what do you want to do? Produce fruit, right?
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about it a little bit. This soil, this good soil, it's not a natural soil type. I showed you that picture of the food plot, right? Yeah? Remember the green and the brown all around it? You don't have to put it up if you don't want to. But that ground wasn't naturally there. A farmer had to come in. Well, farmer, that's kind of a joke. Someone had to come in. There's a picture. Someone had to come in and till this ground up so that you could plant the good seed over top of it. There's another story just a couple verses further in the Bible where this farmer went and he plowed up this ground and he threw all this good seed out, and then his enemy came in and threw in weeds, stuff like that, which the weeds grew up among the wheat. And that's a whole other story we could get into that's got a lot of cool, really deep meaning that I'm just reading it. It's like blowing my mind. But like on this food plot, if I had left some of the weeds in there, if I had left some of the rocks in there, if I had left it, whatever, do you think it would have gotten so green?
No.
No. Okay. So who do you think is the one that's tending the soil? If our hearts are the soil, who's the only one that can really tend the soil, that can pull the thorns out, that can cut the vines away, that can dig up the rock, that can bust the path up? Who do you think is the one that's doing that? Jesus, okay? Is there anything that we can do to make our hearts better for the gospel? There's things that we can do to become closer to God, but is there anything that we can do inside of our own strength and our own physical power to make our hearts better for God? No, he's the only one that can do that. Oh, okay, sorry, I thought you asked a question. Only Jesus can plow those fields in our hearts, okay? I know that sounds kind of cheesy, but it's true. Jesus is the only one that can change our hearts. So as we're sitting and reading through and kind of thinking about these four different soil types, if you are the good soil, that's awesome. That's where you should be. God's using you. You're being fruitful. You're multiplying 30, 60, 100 fold. Real quick, let's talk about what do you think that the folds, the 30, 60, 100 fold, what do you think that looks like? What do you think the fruit is? This is a little bit more complicated question. Okay, fruit is more, so if you plant one seed and then you have a tree that produces 30 fruits and each seed has a fruit in it, then you have 30 seeds, right? So that's 30-fold. Okay, so what spiritual example am I talking about through that? I'm talking about seeds, but what spiritual example am I talking about?
Evangelism.
Okay, evangelism, discipleship, okay. You guys should have people in your life that if you're this good soil, if God's changed your heart and he's done a huge work in you and he's making you a new person, he's making you his creation to do his work, where's the fruit? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. Where's the fruit? So if I'm not producing any fruit, do you think I've landed in good soil? Probably not. We have to be producing this fruit. That's what God's called us to do. God hasn't called us to plant roots. And again, I keep hitting on the thorny ground, and I just feel like that relates so well, at least to my own heart, how it was and how it would be if God wasn't constantly working on me. But I really feel like that's where our culture is, specifically this church, this group, this family. I really feel like we can relate most to that, where, yeah, we really believe God, we really know who he is, we really care, we have these emotional feelings and we're joyful and we're like, yeah, I really love God. But when these hard things come along, or things that we're not ready for come along, or when materials come along, or whatever, this laundry list of things, when these things come around us, these outside circumstances, I feel like sometimes we let those things take over our plant instead of it being good soil. There's all these vines around us. I really feel like that's our group. That's this group of people here. Now, I'm not saying all of you are like that, but I'm saying that's the one that I feel like we can easily most relate with. And I feel like for myself, that's where I was for a really long time. And again, it's nothing that I did to move away from that. It's only God working in us. God's the only one that can change your heart to make you a good soil. Okay, it's nothing that you can do. It's nothing that I can do. It's not anything any pastor can do. It's not anything any church can do. It's only God that can do that through you. So again, I just want you guys to think about, where's the fruit? And again, if there's no fruit, he's going to prune you. Okay, and I know these are kind of like tough ideas and tough terms, and it's like really hard to think about, well, if God loves us, like, why would he let us go through this? And why would he cut us away and all this stuff? And that's some deeper stuff that you just have to think through and really pray. Like, God, where do you have me? What soil am I? Have I even heard the word? Am I one of those people that are standing on the shore and I can't even understand what you're saying because I don't even believe it? There's a difference. The four different types of soil, these are people that actually heard the word and they received it. I'm praying, and I hope there's no one in here that can't even hear the word because there's so much distractions, there's so much other things going on. I pray that you guys are one of these soils that God can work with. And again, the last soil is the best, but it's nothing that you've done on your own. If you happen to land in that category, I pray that you're multiplying. I pray that you're making disciples. But again, that's God doing it through you. It's nothing that you've done. Your heart isn't any better than anyone else's. But you're the one that has listened to God, and you're not letting these other things come in and choke out what you've believed, what you've learned, like these other types of soils. So kind of to finish up, I want to ask you guys some questions. Are you like the wayside? Are you like the path? Okay, wayside, path, same thing. Are you like that seed that was thrown on the path? You hear the word and you don't obey it. You don't even obey it. There's no root at all. The longer that you wait to make a decision, the harder it's going to be. The longer that you wait, the longer that you sit around and think, is this something I even want to think about? Anything I want to try? Is this God thing really real? The longer you wait, the more tough it's going to be and the more Satan's going to come and get you. Okay? The birds aren't going to sit there and just wait and just hover over the seeds until they decide to do something. Satan is going to come and pluck the seed away. Are you guys like the stony ground? You hear all these things and you're not really grounded deep in your faith. You're hitting these rocks. You've got this little bit of dirt, so your root starts to go deep, but it's just kind of like an emotional thing. It's like, oh yeah, God's cool. Like, I understand who he is. Like, you know, he's cool, and I really like being at church, and I have cool friends. But when something really tough, something that's really hard in your life, something that you didn't see coming, it kind of came out of left field, something that's a trial, it's a tribulation, maybe it's something going on with your parents, maybe something's going on with your friends, something that you don't expect coming. When this comes along, it's going to wipe you out. You're going to grow up, and the sun is going to wither you out, like the verse said. Again, it's just persecution, temptation. These things come up, and boom, you're wiped out. There's no fruit because you withered away because you didn't have a deep root. Or are you like the thorny ground? Are you preoccupied? Are there other things that are distracting you from being a good soil? Are there other things that are more important to you than growing a deep root, growing up strong, and producing a good crop? Are there other things around you that you haven't let God take away? Are there other things that different vines or different thorns that you've held on to for so long that you've never let God chop away at that's keeping your plant small, that can't grow and produce fruit? You've heard it. You understand it. You go to church all the time, but it's maybe something that you don't really follow through with. There's other things that are more important to you that distract you. And there's a fine balance. We're not telling you guys to all 100 of you, like, drop everything and run to some, you know, your local seminary and, you know, study the Bible for 40 years. But if that's what God's called you to do, then that's what we want you guys to do. But it's not this weird thing. It's just saying, God, you're most important. Anything else besides you doesn't matter. So if you want to take this away from me, that's fine. If you want to take that away from me, that's fine. It's just like the rich young ruler. He's like, yeah, God, I kind of want to follow you. You're a cool dude. Like, there's a lot of people following you. There's thousands of people that think you're cool. I've seen you heal all these people, and you're really cool. Like, I have all this joy about what you're doing. But if you're calling me to give up everything, then I can't do that. And I feel like our culture, especially in this group here, I feel like we really fit with that. The last one is the good ground. You've responded to the gospel, but you haven't just responded to it. The first one, the path, there was no root. There was no growth at all. Satan plucked it away. But the next two, there was a root. There was a real small root that went down in the hard ground. And then the thorny ground, there was probably a deep root, but there was a lot of stuff around it. So there was actually root. This one is, you've taken root, but you've not just taken root, you're producing fruit. And if that's you, I applaud you. I'm not applauding you, I'm applauding God working through you. I'm proud that you've said, God, these things you can have. These things aren't important to me. You're most important. You've let God plow the field of your heart, if you want to use that cheesy phrase. But it's something that you have to decide. God's going to keep knocking at the door. He's always going to be knocking. Are you going to be the one that lets him in? Are you going to say, no, these other things are more important. These little rocks in my life or these thorns are more important. I'm not going to let you in. So again, you're the soil and you're the sower. Everyone here is the soil. Everyone in this room is the soil. That's your personal state before God. That's your heart before God. You're one of those four soils. There's no other options here. Some of you, and I pray that all of you are the sower. You not only are one of those types of soil, and I hope you're the fourth one, but you're also a sower. You're the one sowing that word. That seed is the word of God. It's the gospel. I hope you guys are sowing that continually, always sowing it in and out of season, and you continue to sow the seed. And that's your personal evangelism. You're the sower, and you're also the soil. And last thing, I mean, this is kind of funny, but I want to go ahead and do it. I have a picture of a field, like just like a blank field. I think it's like the picture is like field one or something like that. Yeah, there's the picture. And it's probably really horrible too because I didn't resize the image. Sorry, guys, I'm a failure. But I was driving back from Georgia the other day, and my dad was tired, and so he said, hey, let's switch spots. You can drive, and I'll take a nap. And then he started snoring and making weird noises. But I was like, sure, fine. So I get out of the car, because I was kind of like reading like a fishing magazine, just like doing my own thing. And I get out of the car, and I look, and like the sun's starting to go down. It's not really a sunset, but there's this beautiful open field. You can't see it because the photo is so grainy, and that's my fault. But there's this just beautiful open field that they had just plowed under. And the dirt in Georgia, I don't know if you've ever been there, but when the clay gets wet, it gets really hard and it's rocky or it gets really slippery. It's not the best ground to plant on when circumstances aren't right. But when the field is plowed up, it's some of the richest soil that you can use for agriculture. And this big, huge open field, I don't know if it's a cotton field or a peanut field or what it is, but there's this huge open field. It's a heart. It's like the fourth soil. It's a heart that's ready to hear the gospel. These seeds are ready to take root, and they're ready to grow down deep, and they're ready to produce fruit. This right here is a bunch of weeds on the side of the road. You can't really tell what kind they are because it's such a horrible picture. I just can't get over it. But this is kind of like the thorny ground. It's dirt. Like, there's dirt there. Like, you could throw a seed and something will probably grow, but it's not going to last long because it's going to get choked out. And I kind of want you guys to just look at this image and think about it. But I want you guys to kind of think about it. Like, if you ever pass by like an open field or a field with a bunch of crops, I want you guys to think about God. I want you to think about what type of soil you are. If you know God, if you are that fourth one, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take the next step. I want you to think about friends in your life. Think about people that you love, that you care about. Maybe, does anybody attend big church across the street? Call it big church, whatever you want to call it. Okay, Titus has been talking a lot about like your five, like personal evangelism, discipleship, getting to know people and sharing the gospel with them. I want you guys to think about people like that that are in your life and think about them as a field. Maybe what type of field are they? Because you can look at people and you can kind of discern, well, you know, he kind of doesn't really want anything to do with God right now, so maybe I can build a relationship with him and make a friendship there through whatever. Maybe it's playing games with him, like sports, like, you know, basketball or football, or maybe you could go to the movies with them, or girls, you could like paint their nails or have girl time and talk on the phone. I don't know what girls do. Like, do I look like I know what girls do?
Yes.
Anyways, it's, I don't even know what to say to that. But build relationships with people and think of people in your life that are a soil. Everybody is a type of soil. And I want you guys, when you see a field like this or a field that's got crops growing in it, I want you to think about these people in your life. If you are that fourth soil, if you are saved, I want you to think about people in your life that you can lead to God, people that are just your friends, that God can go through you and just use you as a vessel, and you can share the gospel with them, build a relationship, and just point them towards Christ. And again, if you're not that fourth soil and you can't look at people that way because you haven't even figured it out yourself, I want you to think about it. Are there things in my life that are keeping me from God? Am I kind of just here to be here because my friends are here and it's kind of like the thing to do on Wednesday nights? Or there's some really cool guy that always gets up and does announcements before high school that clicks the screen. No, I'm just kidding. I was being facetious. Anyways, what are you here for? What are you here for? Or are you like the other types of ground where you get it and it's like really cool and then it dies out because there's no root? I want you guys to think about where you're at. If you're not that fourth soil that's producing 30, 60, 100 fold, I want you guys to think about, what kind of soil am I? Am I willing to let God plant the seeds of the word in my heart, or am I just not ready yet because I haven't let him in? He's been knocking, knocking, knocking. Hey, I'm here to plow the field of your heart, and you're just not letting him in. Okay, I want you guys to think about that. So when you see a field, I want you to think about it every single time. Think about it every single time, okay? Deal? Promise you'll do it for the rest of your lives. Okay, cool. I really want you guys to get this truth. Again, I'm not the best communicator. I'm not the best preacher, whatever. But it's just something that as I was reading through it, I mean, God was just really working on my heart, because I've heard this story so many times. I just heard it continually over and over in Sunday school and in Christian school and my college classes. I've heard this over and over again. It's just a story like, yeah, so whatever, the seed was yada, yada, yada. Like, no, this is what the gospel is about. Not only was I one of those soils, but I'm going to encounter soils as I'm going out and spreading the gospel with my friends. I'm going to encounter these type of soils, and I need to know how I'm going to cast my seed, how I'm going to pray for them, that God can use them and can work in them. So I want you guys to think about that. If you want, go home and reread the story, Mark 4, 1 through 20. Excuse me. Just reread the story, think about it, pray over it, and just pray that God will really teach you some truths through it. So let me pray real quick, and we will get out of here. God, I just thank you for this time. I just thank you for this truth. I feel like I haven't perfected or figured out this truth completely, even for my own self, God. And so I feel almost useless to be communicating this truth, but I know that you're so great and so big that we could never fully understand how great you are. And we're just grateful for the things that you do teach us. I pray that these students, the adults here, myself, I just pray that we would think about just the type of soil that we are. If we are that last soil mentioned, I pray that we think about how we sow our seeds, the people that we're interacting with. I just pray that you would be the focus. We would just remember you in everything, that we wouldn't let distractions keep us from growing fully spiritually. Just thank you for this time. Thank you for these students. We love you. Thank you for your son. In his name, amen.